Hello, and welcome to The Happiest of Hours, presented by Mox & Cox. This podcast is part of our journey to share experiences in the world where drinkers, alcohol-free folks, and the sober curious can coexist. We started our mission to create a space where everyone gets to have the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass, to show people it's okay to go out into the world, to the same events, and have the same great time.
We know how that looks different for everyone. Everyone is different. We just want to stop making it weird.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're Mox & Cox. Hey, Bridget.
Oh, hi, Katie.
Welcome to the Happiest of Hours.
How are you?
I'm so great. We've had such a good week so far.
We've had a great week.
We're going to end it with a bang today. I'm Katie. I am the mock to this duo.
I'm Bridget. I'm the cock to this duo.
Which is nothing dirty. It's just mocktails and cocktails.
Nundicks.
Nundicks around here. Today, we have a guest. But before we go into our guest, we're going to try some, we're going to retry some mocktails.
We had some pretty solid feedback.
It just wasn't fair.
Yes. So if you've been listening, you know that we try a bunch of different products at some point during our show.
We try at the beginning.
We get so easily distracted, squirrel. But we try all of these different products so that you guys don't have to, because it is a very expensive venture and so many of them suck. But there was some feedback, because I have been very vocal about all of the warm shit that Katie pours down our throats. And it's possible that if it's not iced, it might taste different. So we are icing down.
To quote the feedback, the flavor profile might be interrupted.
Yeah, well, we don't talk like that. So
I know people that do.
But the point was fair.
And the point was fair that it's not fair that we didn't give these mocktails a chance. Yes. So we're here to give them a chance.
So there were four in particular that we definitely did not love. And so we're going to give those another chance. And then we also have a guest coming on. But like, let's give it a chance. Give these guys a chance. Find some ice.
Now, we did not tell people what they were.
No, because we're not dicks.
I mean,
okay, sorry. We're not dicks publicly to these people. We don't know them.
Yeah, it's not fair to throw people under the bus yet.
Yet.
Oh, thank you for the water on my ice.
You take that one.
Okay. So I'm going to try this. Is this the one we tried last time?
I don't know.
Well.
Yeah, we've tried all of these in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, this one smells good. This is a blueberry gin and tonic. And these cans are so cute. Of all the ones that we tried, this was the best one.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed.
I'm not sure, though. It might be fine. I think it might be fine, actually.
You know,
it's blueberry.
You know, the initial didn't sell me on.
I know.
Fine.
You can edit that out.
But I won't. Oh, it smells so good, though.
Yeah, it's horrible warm. Try it cold. It might be fine.
It's the flavor profile.
That's not fair.
I don't know why it tastes like plastic.
Come on. It's the blueberry.
Oh.
Do blueberries taste like plastic?
Do blueberries taste like plastic?
I mean, blueberries and beef sticks. Yesterday, we were at an event. And Bridget panicked and was so worried that we were going to get hungry, because I get hangry. That she brought blueberries and beef sticks from the Piggly Wiggly, just in case we had to panic. So we open up the bag from Piggly Wiggly, and there's oranges in there for our garnishes, and package of beef sticks and blueberries. And I'm like, what is happening?
We have such a terrible habit of not eating.
Which is weird.
But we have such a terrible habit of not eating during the day. And it's not great for either of us. But especially not a
great... But especially for me.
Anyway, not great for either of us, but it certainly isn't good like on these event days where we're like go, 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 and all of the stuff has to be done. And like event a couple of weeks ago, I think we split half of an orange.
Clementine.
And that was like, that was where we were at and things. And so I
panicked. You did panic. So it was blueberries and beef sticks for everybody yesterday. We ate a real lunch.
I actually can't explain
that. Like, oh my god, they're not even next to each other in this. They're like, oh my god, where are the beef sticks? I got blueberries. Okay,
but the blueberries were by the garnishes that I was getting for the drinks. Mm-hmm.
Well, we ate a real lunch yesterday, so.
Anyway, I can't explain it, but that's fucking funny.
Not terrible.
It's getting better.
Try it warm.
It's getting better
because it's real terrible
cooling down. I don't want that in my mouth. Oh my gosh, goodness.
But cold, maybe that's fair. Not the best. We're not going to say what it is.
Nope. We may come out of this particular podcast with a no review for a drink.
Yeah. It's okay. Try that one.
All right. So this one is a canned old fashioned, and we had such high hopes for. Sorry, Katie's just dumping drinks and plants again.
The plant right next to my desk always gets a nice big mocktail.
Chloroseptic. Oh, that was really bad though. Oh, okay. So moving right along, this one is a canned old fashioned, and it was so bad the last time that I did not want to go near this again, but we've iced it down. We've chilled it. It's been sitting
chilled. Try it. I want to see your face. So does our guest.
It smells like an old fashioned.
Okay. Maybe the ice brought out the flavor.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Oh my God.
Oh, it smells so boozy.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. See, these are the things that we don't understand how they get out of the product.
I don't know. I don't understand how this can come out of a factory.
I think this happened last time that I kept drinking it because I was like, oh.
For reference for anybody else who just happens to be on video, Don't fucking touch it.
Oh, God. No, I can't. The plant won't even like that.
Don't do it. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, we just don't understand how these things end up out, like getting out.
That is terrible. I have had Dimetapp that is better than that. That is
Dimetapp. Jesus Christ. What is your fucking dime store cough medicine? Is Dimetapp what they use for meth?
Is like, I don't know how to cook meth. What do you mean is Dimetapp what they use? I don't know.
Oh, I'll check on Breaking
try
Bad.
This one. Do you need ice? Do you have
probably
ice?
We're gonna try this warm first.
Good choice. Things are going so well. I'm going to keep putting this warm shit down our throats.
maybe I like that.
Oh, it smells terrible.
Yeah, it smells terrible. Oh, you don't like grapefruit, so this is going to be tough. This one we got for free. Somebody wanted to.
Why am I drinking it warm?
I don't know. Nope, that one's not good either.
This is why we do it.
This is why we do this. We should probably do it on video rather than,
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Oh my God.
Oh, you're going to try it with ice?
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, because I don't want to be that person. I don't understand how this happens. How do you get out of a facility?
I don't know. We should be taste testers, I guess. Oh,
sweet Jesus. What, do they not have any?
I guess not.
Does nobody have a tongue at these businesses?
Yes. They're only tongueless testers. It's like one of those commercials like at Covance. They're like, hey, if you're between the ages of 18 and 35 and do not have a tongue, have we got the job for you?
$1,500 a month. Oh, it actually doesn't smell better now that it's cold. My tongue hurts from this.
I know. Ugh, that was bad. Oh, two sips. Two sips and
try it cold.
Okay. Wow. Oh, not terrible.
Not terrible.
Warm, not so great.
This is a good. I wouldn't go that far. Good.
Not bad.
Yeah, closer.
It's not bad.
Closer.
I think some of these mocktails try to make them taste like so much like liquor.
And I've never had liquor that tastes that bad.
Oh, yes, you have.
That's not true.
You've been to plenty of WAP parties. All right, moving right along. I don't want to highlight any of these. We just tasted three in a row.
Four. Oh, no, three. You're right. We didn't try the other ones.
No, I'm already
I got to save my tongue for a little bit. So we're going to try those later.
Well,
we're going to close out the mocktail tasting of the day.
Oh, you've got water?
I do. Would you like some?
Have a cracker, some coffee. Jesus Christ.
Anyway. Okay. Anyway, we're going to kick her off here.
Move right along.
Moving right along past
yet another eventful taste test. Yes. Let's move into what we are actually talking about today
and what we're so excited about.
Yeah, go.
We are so excited to welcome Ellie from As Told by Ellie. Ellie, welcome to
Thank you. You guys are hilarious. I was trying so hard not to just bust out laughing.
Oh, you can. That's all we do. Somebody told us the other day that I love to listen to your podcast. I really like to listen to you wheeze and bark.
It's like ASMR with the little clinking of the glass, you know, and then occasional, like, it's great. You guys are nailing it.
A lot like that.
Yeah.
It's very real.
Oh, well, welcome, Ellie. We're super happy to have you. So a little backstory here. We literally met Ellie online, but like not on a dating app or a friend app or anything.
Craigslist.
I Googled on the wholesale account that we shop through, I guess. I Googled sober gifts and gift, like gift, not gif, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Gifts. Silver presents. For our subscription boxes. And Ellie's store came up because she's got the most hilarious greeting cards ever. And very, like, you've got the top of the market on sober greeting cards.
Thank you. That's a big compliment.
It's amazing. There's not that many people celebrating sobriety. So that's how we found you. And then we went down a real rabbit hole with Ellie. We started listening to her podcast. I have followed and listened and watched all your reels. I've read every single blog post. Oh, I'm sort of obsessed with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we would like you to just tell us, and we're so happy to have you. So we haven't had that many guests. It is one of our favorite things so far. So, and after some technical difficulties, we got you on here. And you're right to know. So we are super excited to have you. We'd love to hear a little bit about you and your store. And
yeah, I'm super excited to see how you started and what got you on this path to be the most prolific sober card writer I've ever seen in my life.
Sure. So where do I start? I'm from North Carolina. That's where I grew up, born and raised, in Raleigh. That's my hometown. I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina when I was 19, and I lived there for a few years, and I partied my ass off. I bartended at a bunch of different bars there every single night of the week. If I wasn't working at a bar, I was out drinking at the bar. 21, I lived downtown on the main strip of bars. I lived next to a bar, you know, the bar I worked at was across the street, and I started to just kind of like feel myself getting stuck. And out of all of my friends and coworkers, I was the youngest one out of all of them. And I, you know, not trying to dog on anybody, but I was like, I don't want to be doing this when I'm 35. And at this rate, like, this is exactly what's going to happen. So I truthfully didn't even want to move. I like forced myself to move away. And I moved to Austin, and I had never even been to Texas. I just said, fuck it, and moved like 2 or 3 weeks later. Wow. I moved.
Yeah.
So that was pretty crazy. And then I got there and I was like, what the fuck did I just do? Like, oh my God, it was really rough for like the first 6 months. And I would tell anybody this, like, if you move somewhere new, the first 6 months are going to suck. And you're going to be like, what did I do? I need to move back. I'm such an idiot. But if you can get past that point, then I encourage you to. And then I finally went back to college. That's a long story. I've been in and out of college at this point for like 5 or 6 years. And I had a hard time finding a job. And it's funny, like, thinking on it now, because I moved to Austin and I was like, I'm not going to work downtown. I don't want to get caught up in the scene. And so then I just got a job at the strip club. Like, oh.
Like a nice safe environment.
Like I'm trying to stay out of the party scene. Okay. Started bartending at the strip club. I worked at three different strip clubs in Austin.
Bartending?
Just bartending.
I mean, I had to ask.
Yeah, no. Fair question. I have a funny story about that.
Oh, we're going to listen to that one too.
I was bartending and there was this guy and he would come in the strip club during the day all the time, like 3 times a week. He would tip usually everybody there $100, if not more. He just spent stupid amounts of money at the club. And I knew him from the first club that I worked at. And then I had seen him. He is like a little guy that goes to all the other clubs, you know. And he's one of those. He sits in VIP. His waitress comes up to the bar and she was like, hey. He said, he'll give you a handsome amount of money if you get up on stage right now. And I said, tell that motherfucker to give me $300 for even asking me that shit. And he did. She comes back with $300. And all the girls are sitting there. I'm like, see, all of you have your titties out. I'm wearing sweatpants and a Packers jersey, and I just made $300.
So, you just ask for what you want.
Exactly. So, yeah, I worked at the strip club, and I just had, obviously, all these crazy stories like that from working there. And I'm like, I mean, I love writing. That's always been my passion, and I've always wanted to write a book. So I'm like, okay, I got to write this book about the strip club. Well, most of the time I was drunk and I didn't remember, you know, so it was kind of there's probably so many stories that I'll never remember, you know, but I started writing them down, or at least just kind of like taking notes at work. Like if somebody said some off the wall shit, I'd write down the quote or whatever, because we were drinking behind the bar in Texas. So, I mean,
yeah,
drinking, drugs, you name it. I mean, it was a party there. So started writing down these things. And that's actually how I started As Told by Ellie. It started as just a blog.
And oh, really?
Yes. So then I made an Instagram page for it to kind of like promote the blog itself. But it's been through many, like this Instagram page has been through many evolutions. It essentially was like a meme page when I first started it, because I didn't know how to like promote the blog. So I would just post stuff that was like service industry jokes or like stuff like that. And that was kind of my target audience at the time, or the people that I was trying to attract to just read the blog. But then at some point I was like, I gotta monetize this. Like, how can I make money off of this? And actually, I signed up for an affiliate link for this weird, like sex ad, I don't know, like a sex toy or some shit. And I was like, I'll just put it at the bottom of my page. I make, you know, I don't remember what it was, $30 if somebody clicks it and buys it. I think that went on for like a week and I was like, I can't have this shit.
I mean, but we have principles.
I was like, well, you know, I think I could do something a little bit better. So I actually I found this girl on Instagram and she made funny greeting cards. And I think one of the ones that I saw, it said something like, I love you more than a crack whore loves like crack or something like that. I was like, this is great. So I was just going to sell her cards on my website. And that was my plan. And then, but I didn't even get to that point. I kind of was like, well, her stuff is pretty basic. Like, I think I can figure out how to do this. You know, if it's just going to be funny words, like I know how to type. Like,
I mean, like, I know the alphabet too.
Like, why should she have the corner on this market?
Right? Like, man,
I know words.
I know words. So that's how it started. I think I started with maybe 5 or 6 cards. One of them that is still, like, to this day, my bestseller. The rest of them sucked. I don't think they're for sale anymore.
What is it?
It says, happy birthday, you beautiful bitch. And then on the inside, it says, from one beautiful bitch to another. So it's one of my only cards that has like something on the inside. The rest of them are blank, except I made another one that's pretty similar to that one. It's just pink. It's a little bit different color scheme. But yeah, that was one of the first ones I made. And it's still to this day my top selling card. So that's pretty cool.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. One of my favorite stories of yours was the mistaken send to the, right?
Was it the one? Oh my gosh. Which one was it? I've done this like 4 times.
I think it was the most recent, like the Christmas one.
Oh, the boss card. Yeah. She ordered one that said like Merry Christmas to the best damn boss or something. And I sent her one that said, bend me over. I mean, Merry Christmas. She's like, this is great, but I can't give this to my boss. I'm like, yeah, I think that's like sexual harassment. So I can't, don't do that. My bad. I did that before too. I have the first time I did this, and this is the first TikTok video I ever made, and it got like 150,000 views. And I was like, oh, TikTok. Okay.
Okay.
Somebody ordered a card. It was one of my sobriety cards, and it has a rainbow on it, and it just says sobriety. And then at the bottom, it says, you're fucking nailing it. And I accidentally sent them this card that also has a rainbow, to be fair, but it just says whore. Whoops.
Oh my God, I love you so much.
So she was a good sport about it. I was like, my bad. She said it was for her boyfriend. I'm like, I hope he's not a whore.
I mean, this one matches too. It's fine.
Like, it's a rainbow. Come on. Same thing. It's like a wish order. What's that website? Wish, where you just get absolutely not what you ordered. Like,
yeah. Oh, there you go.
That's what I do sometimes. Okay. Fuck off.
You get two businesses in one.
That's what I do sometimes.
Oh my God.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Mind your own business.
That's showbiz, baby. Oh my God. That's so funny. I want to ask you a couple of things. One is how we got connected was obviously for cards for our sobriety boxes, and our alcohol-free subscription boxes. I'm curious about why you started making sobriety cards. And you said that it's like one of your biggest sellers, right?
Yes. It's my best-selling category by far. You know, of course you're going to have your major holidays, Mother's Day, Christmas, whatever, but Valentine's Day as well. But the sobriety cards are what carries me through. Like, you would think it'd be birthday cards or like an anniversary, but it's by far the sobriety cards. I started making them. I only had like three sobriety cards when I first brought that category out. I have a bunch of sober people in my life. I'm a cock. So
we love our cock.
We do. My name is Ellie and I'm a dick.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi. But I wanted to make cards for those people. I had a boyfriend and he passed away. He overdosed. And so just stuff like that. It makes you think of these people. Like, what can I was very supportive of him on his journey and constantly checking in with him. Hey, how's it going? And yeah, so it was really important to me to just, of course, like, congratulate people on the big ones, like, hey, 1 year, or I even make a 1 month sobriety card. So to me, it was important to like be encouraging and supportive of your loved ones who are going through that stuff. But I just noticed any ones that I did find, they were just super lame. And I'm like, okay, if you're sober, you know how to fucking party, and you do not want these cards that are like, you know, just very boring. Like, so I'm like, yeah. So I just
card. I mean, most of the cards I've seen that ever have anything doing like related to sobriety is like a fucking sympathy card.
Right.
The Walgreens is like one little thing that's got like a white dove on it. You know, I mean, if you can find them at all.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah.
True. I think that's funny that you say that, because on Etsy you have to like pick a category that they're in, and you can just do like greeting cards in general. But I remember when I first started the sobriety cards, I'm like, I don't want it to be a sympathy card. So I think I put encouragement card as the category that they're technically in.
But also fitting. But sympathy, right. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, like you said, most people that are sober really did know how to party. Mm-hmm. I mean, most really, really went balls to the wall with that.
Yeah, so, they're retired now.
Yeah. I mean, I say that I'm a retired drinker. I've like hung up my drinking boots a while ago. So yeah. Well, we love that we found you that way. And then we just did a deep dive on Ellie.
Love it.
It was pretty funny because Katie was doing another deep dive on you, and I was actually on the phone earlier, and all I can hear in the other room is her just like cackling.
Like, the blog is so fucking funny. Like,
and like talking to herself about how funny you are and how funny, and she's like, this is so good. I'm not here. I'm like, I'm down the hall. I'm in another room having a conversation on the phone and just like from the, just laughing her ass off. Mm-hmm.
You're our people for sure.
Love it.
Is the greeting card business is that your main gig?
I call my real job my side hustle.
Right. We call Bridget's side job or her real job bacon.
Yeah, we call it.
She brings home the bacon.
So I do social media for a landscaping company. So that's pretty cool. I want to start like my own social media, like marketing company. So I try to do really good with like all of my branding and type stuff, but it's really cool because I get to drive around sometimes to these like rich ass motherfucking houses and we're doing a pool and putting in landscaping and building an outdoor kitchen. So that's what I do Monday to Thursday. And then I get home at 3 and I do greeting card stuff until like 6 every day. I only take off one day. So
out of the strip club scene.
And
out of Austin.
Yes. So after Austin, I met him. My husband worked at the strip club with me. He was my manager, and he would not date me for 2 years because I worked there, and I would harass. So yeah, that's how we met. And then we moved back to Michigan where he's from. He's from Grand Rapids. And we moved there for 3 years. And then I was like, I'm cold. So
we're going to do something else.
So now we live in Florida. So I've lived in 4 states in 8 or 9 years.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Etsy.
Okay. So when I started the business, it started as a blog. That was my own website. It was on WordPress back in those early times.
Right. I had WordPress sites
back in the aughts.
That shit was hard. Oh my God. Thank God.
So hard. I don't understand. I have a certificate in web design. I'm like, who?
It's a lot.
Who does this? I was like following tutorials.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Like how to make $1 million on your blog. And I'm like, how the fuck does anybody do this?
Right.
It's hard.
So that was hard. And I had a decent amount of people coming to read the blog, but it wasn't anything crazy. And I had bought some things off of Etsy before, I think. Probably. I knew what it was. And I was well, why don't I just like sell this stuff on Etsy? And so I launched my Etsy shop on April Fool's Day.
I love that.
So I launched it on April Fool's Day. I would say it took like probably a good 6 months to like actually start doing something. And then it was like a noticeable difference after that. And it's just been going. I'm a top 1% Etsy seller now. It's crazy.
Amazing.
I mean, how, like, I don't even understand how that happens, really, because it's never happened to me. But, like, the side, it's a side hustle, I'm guessing, but, like, a real hustle.
It makes more money than my landscaping job, for sure. So
that's cards.
I have stickers, too.
Stickers, right.
Not a lot. They're a pain in the ass to upload.
So we don't do that now.
And then I have some drop shipping like t-shirts and stuff like that, but I mean I had somebody buy 2 of them in Iceland the other day, and I was like, that's random. But other than that. I don't really sell that kind of stuff. The main thing for sure is just the greeting cards.
And you just found that niche and sailed away.
Yeah, I've always loved greeting cards. I've always sent them to people. It's kind of just always been my thing, but I always thought it'd be funny to make it look just as pretty and cool as they do in the store, but then say fuck on it or something.
I love that so much.
Like, I still want it to look cool and professional. I don't want it to be like Comic Sans, like, happy birthday, bitch. Like,
nobody with the Comic Sans. I don't understand why Instagram still has Comic Sans. Like, Hallmark, why?
Hallmark this.
I'm going to start using it now.
Please do. Please do. Comic Sans everything. And it's got like a brush stroke behind it on the screen. Yeah. I don't understand it.
What's going on? They're doing too much there.
I don't know why Instagram still does that.
I was on your Instagram the other day and noticed that, like, you have some tips for Etsy, like, sellers. Do you do that too? Like, have you given talks or?
I did an Etsy masterclass, and I was doing a couple like Etsy audits and helping people out, but I don't really do it anymore.
Something to be the top 1%. That's insane.
Which is sure. What's crazy to me is we didn't even find her on Etsy.
Right. We also didn't.
So, like, that's not even where we found. So you're a top percent there, and that's not even where we found you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely like to give people advice. And I mean, if anybody wants to message me and ask questions, I'd love to help you. But as far as being like an Etsy coach, like, I'm not really doing that anymore. I found that a lot of people don't care as much as I do. And so I don't want to have to help you with that part. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can for sure give you some pointers. But if you're not, I mean, I spend hours every single day working at this. If you're not at that same level of commitment, I'm like, I'm not the person to like talk you into it. Yes.
Right. I can't help you.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't help you do the work.
Right. We launched our podcast on the same day, I'm pretty sure, right?
Mine was January 2nd. Oh. It was January 1st.
Well, we were January 1st, but.
Yeah. We're twinsies. We're
January 2nd. Because. We almost didn't make it. But tell us about your podcast.
We almost didn't make it.
Yet here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Here we all are. So your podcast is called Fuck the Status Quo, which
it is.
And I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because fuck it.
Tell us about that.
I've had the idea to start a podcast for a while, but I didn't do it because I was partying at the strip club. So I wanted something that was like a hobby that was going to be fun for me. I mean, it's still great for me to design the greeting cards. I love that whole creative aspect, but it is work at this point. So I really wanted something that was fun, and I pay for it, you know, through my business account. And I just wanted to talk to people and talk about things that, you know, kind of like what you guys do. It's people don't talk about it. People don't have these conversations, but also, I like talking to other entrepreneurs and hearing how people started their businesses, and just talking to them about different aspects of that, I think, is really cool. So it's essentially a podcast of like anybody that's just kind of doing things differently or has a different way of thinking, a different perspective. I kind of like giving it the tagline of everybody's like becoming a better person to create less assholes on the planet, which is really what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, really. We're trying to do that too.
We all do better when we all do better.
Right. Who's your favorite guest?
That was bold.
Sorry, that was maybe a little bit on the spot because you probably have lots of favorites.
I don't know. It's hard. I can't pick one. Yeah. It's really fun to just, they're all so different. They've all brought something completely different to the table. And I think I like that I'm able to have such a casual conversation with men and women. I think a lot of podcasts, it's like either mostly women are on it or men, but like I told you guys, I have a twin brother, so I've always just been comfortable with that. So I feel like that kind of like makes it a little different too. Yeah, it's just cool to like hear people's stories and hear how they started. It's definitely inspiring. Like, you know, my people talking about, I was, you know, making t-shirts out of my garage and doing everything myself. It's cool to hear that stuff. And it's like, oh, now you just built your own house and drive this nice ass car. Like, that's, I want to hear about you eating fucking McDonald's for the third day in a row in your car. Like, I don't care that you're going to Italy next week, you douche.
You want to hear about people splitting half an orange?
Like just hustling their fucking cocktails out of the back. Yeah.
What did you guys eat yesterday? Blueberries and beef?
Beef sticks.
Beef sticks and blueberries.
I mean, it does sound like a pretty amazing Instagram handle.
Beef sticks and blueberries. I can't even explain it. Like it just happened.
Yeah, you panicked. But we have to eat. You panicked.
But to be fair, it entertained you every time you saw them throughout the day.
In the Piggly Wiggly bag. Like, here we are again. We're trying to pack this shit up, and here's the beef sticks and blueberries that never got opened. They probably got thrown away.
They traveled with us to every stop, though.
Well, that's great.
So they went on a trip. Like, those blueberries went further yesterday than they were ever going to go if they were stuck at the pig.
That's true.
I used to have like a snack bag at work with me, and it would be like those mixed nuts that you get, and I would write on the bag Ellie's nuts, and they would just travel around, so everybody called them the traveling nuts. it was my snack.
I always see the like some meme on Instagram of like my apple went for its daily trip to the office today.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. For daily outing to the office.
And for a stroll.
Until it gets thrown away 4 days later. Bruised and battered.
That's true though. So anyway, the blueberries, they're not gonna make it.
The beef sticks,
they might make it.
For posterity.
Yeah, they might make it a little further in this world than the blueberries will. Because the blueberries have been in and out. They've been through it. Mm-hmm. They've been through some shit. They've seen some shit. They're not as tightly sealed as the beef is. So the blueberries are not likely to make it, but the beef sticks, they're going the distance.
I would imagine you would say that you're sort of a go-getter, like you just you've just tried a bunch of shit, right?
And at this point, but not for a while, I was not at all.
Oh, really?
No. I was really like just lost in partying for a long time. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I always knew that I wanted to be my own boss, but I just didn't really care about much other than just partying and bartending.
Yeah, that's cool.
To be honest. And I think there was definitely like a big shift, I think, for me during coronavirus for sure, where I really had the time to think like, what do I want to do? And just kind of assessing where I was at in my life. And I'm like, okay, you know, remember when you were 21 and you moved out of North Carolina because you were like, I don't want to get stuck. Like, what are you doing now? Like, you're kind of, we're still on the same path. And then also I found out, and it was 2021, I want to say, I found out that I had a brain tumor, and it's not cancerous. Like, it's fine. It's totally fine.
Don't worry about our
eyes. I didn't know for like 5 weeks. I had no idea. I'm like, is this cancer? Like, I don't know. So it really got me thinking, like, am I about to die? And if so, like, what do I want to leave this earth with? Am I just going to like die as being like, oh, she was a great bartender? I'm like, oh, like, no, that sucks. So that's when I like started my business and everything. Well, there was a couple things. I thought I was going to be like a professional furniture flipper. That did not work out. I did joined an MLM, cringe, but I tried Ooh, that.
Which one? Was it LuLaRoe?
No. So I joined that. What else did I try to do? I don't know. Just a couple other things. I tried to sell insurance. That sucked.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just, I thought for a long time about being a realtor, and you know, there was a bunch of different stuff that I tried before I stuck with one.
Mm-hmm. I've had 45 different jobs.
Yeah.
Shockingly, all of the things that you did, I did too. I was actually a realtor. I sold 31 for a while until
my mom did that too. Yeah.
Until I realized that 31 was actually a Bible verse. And I was like, what the fuck did I get myself into? I'm out. They did cute bags so. Though.
I keep telling her that I don't have a single 31 bag, and she keeps calling bullshit. And
yeah, because like, you have a wheeling cooler.
I know,
that's like
but
polka
I'm pretty
dot.
Sure though. I feel pretty confident that I didn't have any of that, but
I find it hard to believe. Anyway, also worked for an insurance company. Yeah, So many things.
There's Katie's had a few different public speaking gigs in the last couple of weeks, and they like require like you go through your resume when she starts, and like there's it's actually easier to list the things that she hasn't done. So like she hasn't recently done neurosurgery.
Never been a baker, a butcher, or a candlestick maker.
Right? Yeah, she has never piloted a 747, and like that's really. That's it. That's approximately the.
I mean, I was in a Black Hawk unit,
right? No, right. Like I said, so yeah. those are helicopters for Tracy,
for Tracy in Wisconsin.
but that like if the list is it's far, obnoxious. Yeah, it's far. No, it's not obnoxious. It makes you who you are.
Yeah.
And every single one of those made you who you are and got you to where this is, which is like the best part and so fun. But yeah, it's really fun to listen to what gets everybody where they're going.
Yeah.
And everybody's story is fascinating to me.
Yeah. And you've got some fascinating guests. Where do you find your guests?
Most of them I know already.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting. Varied backgrounds.
Well, you know, live in four states in a matter of 10 years. You'll meet some people. A lot of them I know from Wilmington and either worked with them at bars or just knew them from that scene. Everybody else I've met on the internet.
Right? It's fascinating. Yeah. It's so cool.
I love the internet. Yeah.
We do love the internet. The amount of there's a huge sober Instagram community. I mean, it's pretty big.
It really is. I mean, I never in my life would have guessed. And so, and what's interesting, and maybe you can actually put some more words to this. What's interesting to me, especially on the Instagram world, is there's billions and billions of like these sober people, right? Which is fabulous.
Maybe 1 billion.
There's only like 7 billion in the whole world, right?
Yeah,
like people.
So probably
yeah, 1 billion. Like, but millions and millions of these people, all looking for the same community, and we love being a part of it. It's so great. It's the most supportive community I've ever seen in my life. But for a lot of them, they have like dual accounts.
So many.
Yeah, like it's not.
I have a different account.
Right. Yeah. So maybe
It was called From Vino to Vinyasa.
Oh, okay. Still so like I said, you could probably put more words to it. Like, cause I think that is super fascinating because Instagram is just massive and we all do a lot of good work on Instagram and that's how we connect to a lot of people. But especially in that particular community, which we are all a part of because of Sober Cards, Sober Boxes, all that. But for a lot of people, they have, it's like a secondary account almost.
Well, I think that just speaks to how hidden it is. Like how, I mean, when I started my like sober account, because so many of these are like sober in Los Angeles sober in Detroit or, you know, and that's sort of a sober city movement. Like that's a thing now, but you know, like From Vino to Vinyasa, like everybody's got these like made up names that are, they have nothing to do with themselves basically. But I think it speaks so much to people like wanting an alter ego, trying to find a community, but really being scared to like announce it to their people, like their tribe in real life. Right. I think, after a while I was like, I'm posting the same shit on my sober one that I was on my real one. And I was like, this is stupid. I'm just going to be who I am. Like, this is like, just who I am.
But it does go to the, like, Instagram's for everybody. Like there is a spot for everything and everybody.
Yeah,
and
there really is.
Pretty magical.
I think it really does speak to finding a community and also still being really nervous to put that out to the world. And that's, it's a scary, I mean, it's scary. It's just scary. People are weird, right? We've talked about this a thousand times. People are really weird. And so I used to like block people that I knew that were following, like they'd find me, right? Because it, you know, either my name was there or they'd see a picture, or Instagram does what Instagram does, not when you want it to, right? Like, you want it to do it, but like when I was trying to hide something, they were like,
here it is for everybody.
You know, this person and this person knows you and they want to follow you, and I'm like, block. But now that's not the case. But I think it just really. It speaks volumes of still the stigma we have around not drinking. And we follow Sober in Central Park.
Yeah.
Did you just see her? Well, she just like blew up. She blew up a few months ago, but she called out one of these restaurants that gave her an alcoholic martini by accident. Like she asked for an espresso martini.
Yep.
They gave her a martini. She was sitting at lunch with her friend who was also, they were both 2 years sober. She took a drink of it, realized there was alcohol in it and was like, you can't do this. Like, you have to pay attention. And she was like, oh, well, do you have an allergy or an aversion to alcohol? And she's like, no, I'm fucking sober. Yep. And the girl was like, oh, sorry, I'll just take it back. She was like, no, wait. And she went sort of bonkers. Like, she called the woman out, then went on her Instagram that has, 80,000 followers or something, and called the restaurant out on it. And then, of course, people went fucking ballistic. Like, people make mistakes and there's people dying all over the world and this is the shit you're worried about. And she was like, this could have really fucked up my sobriety. And it was super interesting. And there was, a bunch of people went to bat for her, and then a bunch of people like cancel culture goodbye. And it's just, but she also, that it's sober in Central Park. Like, she's got a separate account.
Right.
So, right, I mean, no. She went on there and was like, you can follow me. I don't give a fuck. Like, this is my sober diary. You can do whatever the fuck you want. I don't need you. Goodbye. And
you'd think that there's, I found that I have a different reaction when you accidentally give booze to somebody who's sober.
What? Than her?
Yeah.
Oh, which is?
Like, you feel awful when you accidentally do that.
Oh, then the waitress.
Yeah.
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 Like, yeah, she didn't really seem to feel awful. Yeah. She was like, oh, sorry.
I mean, I thought about it for a long time. Yeah. When you accidentally force that down someone's throat.
Yeah. It seems weird. But anyway, the Instagram community is just, it's just fascinating. It's like, and there's so many people following sober people that mm-hmm. are, like, I filled my Instagram feed with sober people when I first quit drinking. Like, mm-hmm. I followed everybody that was sober and, all the sober tags or whatever. But then you realize that, like, a lot of these people have, like, a completely separate Instagram page. Yeah. It's just, like, where they post pictures of their kids and, whatever. Now I'm just, it's all together. It's just one life for me.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, though.
Yeah. It's a interesting community, but that's how we meet people on the internet. Just like,
yeah.
Google's got a real matchmaking algorithm out there.
It's true. It's true.
That Tinder only hopes to have.
Yeah. The original dating app is Google. Yeah.
Some of these relationships last longer than the Tinder one. So,
that's true.
Yeah, Grindr and Tinder aren't necessarily the long-termers.
Right, what is it, Bumblebee or whatever? Is that the one?
Bumble.
Oh, yeah. Just Bumble. I always say Bumblebee, I know.
And it comes up weirdly often.
I mean, I've been married so long, I didn't even know I have never been on a dating app.
Me either.
Same.
Actually, one time I was out of town on vacation. I was like, I need to find some weed. And so I downloaded Tinder.
That seems like a good place to get weed.
So it didn't work out because they're like, yeah, you're going to come hang out with us, right? I'm like, no, I just need the weed.
Just need the weed.
Just need the weed, man.
So that was the only time I used a dating app.
I didn't know that, but good to know.
That is helpful, though.
Is there a dating app for weed? Like, is there an app for weed? Like, if you want to find a drug dealer somewhere? Well, I don't know. Isn't that true still?
I don't know. There's so many states where you can just go to the store and buy it.
Yeah, I guess. Like, you don't need that in Colorado anymore. You can just go to the store.
Or Illinois or California. Or
not here. Maybe we should start it.
start an app for drug dealers?
Well, yeah. Like,
well, yeah.
I mean, why isn't there one? The cartel hasn't figured this out yet.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to, I'll stop it here. No. No, we won't.
I mean, okay.
Okay. Don't wink at me.
Ellie, you want to do it if Bridget doesn't?
I mean, I'm not opposed. I think it could be a good idea.
Jesus Christ. We can also sell greeting cards and I'll start making candles.
I have weed greeting cards, so we could just do like, you know, you get a greeting card that says happy birthday, bud, and then there's some bud in it.
Oh.
See, Bridget,
because you know you want one.
You're going to be so upset when Ellie and I do this. You're going to be like, why didn't you include me?
Fine.
Speaking of which, good segue. What are you working on now? What's the next fit for you?
The main focus right now is the podcast, and it's my fun thing, though. I didn't want it to be work, so I have somebody that does all my editing and all that stuff for me. I still make the social media stuff because that's my favorite part.
Your gig.
So yeah, just focusing on the podcast. I'm still trying to get into some more stores, which I've gotten like, I want to say like 12 or 13 new stores this year so far. So that's exciting.
March.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cruising along.
Have you had any censorship questions? Like, have you censored yourself or somebody else on your podcast?
On my podcast, there's definitely some stuff that's been edited out for sure. Where I'm like, I don't think that this should be on here. So, yeah.
We have gone, when we first started, it was more of like everything just went out. And I think the further we get, like the naivete is sort of worn off. I'm like, shit. This, like, should we be saying this?
You can't really feign ignorance anymore. No,
right? We did at the beginning. We were like, oh, this is fine. We can, you know, we are who we are. Fuck them. And now we're like, oh, we might be offending somebody
we don't really have to do that, do we?
That's also the thing about podcasting is we've discovered how many people we know are listening to it. Which is weird.
It's crazy. I don't think many people listen to it. And then I will see the numbers. I'm like, oh, or people that I've been friends with for a while, but I haven't talked to in years. And they're like, oh, I love this week's episode. And I'm like, oh, you're listening? Oh, cool.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's always crazy to me. I love it. It's like,
yeah, it's weird though, because it's like the only platform you have no idea how many people, like who's listening.
It's the who.
Yeah. At least if on your Facebook, you can see who like hearted your shit. But here it's like, okay, well, we have this many followers, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
And who the hell are they? Like, who's this person in Seattle?
Yeah.
And how'd they find us? There's just like not a great way to do that.
Yeah. Since I like it though, because I think that if it did become more of like a vanity thing, that's exactly what it'd be. And people would be more worried about the numbers. I think it's still like an innocent thing right now where most people that start podcasts, they're just trying to have fun and record good conversations. And so it comes from a good place. But I think if, you know, podcasts were to start showing they have this many subscribers or this many followers or whatever, I think it would be different.
Yeah, that's so true. It's one of our favorite things to do for sure.
Yeah.
Probably because we like to hear ourselves talk, but
it's okay. It's fun.
Mostly. I mean, we do like that, but we really, really love this.
We do. We haven't had that many guests because you only do guests, right?
I do. I have guests and then I do occasionally do like a solo episode. And then my friend Stephanie and I, we do like a once a month topic where we kind of research it and talk shit about it. So the first one we did was about the school system. And then we did another one that was religion versus spirituality. The one coming out next week is going to be about the American criminal justice system.
Oh.
And then next month we're doing one about psychedelic drugs. So that'll be fun.
Sweet. That should be fun.
So it's like a little mini series. We call it the Talk Shit mini series that we do.
Oh, I love that. If you had any advice for anyone that's listening, anyone for anywhere, I guess our audience, who we don't know. We'd love to hear your we'd love to hear any piece of advice, like your favorite piece of advice for humanity.
Hmm. Damn, that's a big one. I think a big thing for me that really changed a lot was just starting to take action instead of, I mean, I could sit in the dreamer phase for like 7 years and I did, but and I think in a sense, a lot of people kind of just sit around and wait for like some genius idea to spark. But the genius ideas come from you starting to do stuff and figuring out, okay, I didn't like that one. Okay, did not like flipping furniture. That was not for me. That took 8 hours to do a tiny ass table. Like, nope, maybe that's not it. Because that's where you'll kind of figure out what is for you. I mean, with the greeting cards, it was really important to me to have something where I could be at home and run it from my home. I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. I've thought about, do I want to have a retail space? No, I don't. I want to not wear pants. So
agreed.
I think it's just important to take some action. And with that, you'll figure out things that are for you and things that aren't for you. And that's going to help you ultimately get to like where you want to be. But just sitting around being like, oh, that'd be cool, that's not going to do shit for you. So get your shit together.
That's great. Everybody waited until they were ready to do something.
We'd all be
nothing would ever happen.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we want to thank you so much for doing this with us today.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
It's been fabulous. And we'd love to do it again sometime too.
Yeah.
If we can. But you're coming to a Packer game. We're going to the Yellow Zone.
Can't wait.
And we're coming to Florida.
And we're definitely coming to Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. After this call, I have a guy coming over to come look at our yard and give us a quote for a pool. So you guys got to get down here.
Ooh, good for you.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
I hope your bend me over cards have paid for your pool.
This pool is sponsored by the Horny Women of America. Thank you very much.
That was so one fabulous. Of the other greatest videos when you're like, Jesus, do you people in your life? One thing I learned is you guys are fucking horny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That get your dick ready card. I told you that the birthday bitch card is my top seller, first card I ever made. The get your dick ready is like $500 less than that in 1 month. I'm like, holy shit.
Get your dick ready.
It's so good.
Well, we would love to have a Mox and Cox line of cards by Ellie. So
yeah, we should. We'll be in touch.
We'll see what I can do.
Thanks, Ellie. This was amazing.
Thank you, guys.
See you again.
Yes, this has been really fun. Thank you.
And we'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.